Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Birth rates in the Republic of Ireland have been steadily falling over the past 15 years, despite a slight increase during the COVID lockdowns of 2020 and 21. But we are far from alone. In fact, fertility rates are plunging from North America to Asia and Europe to the Gulf. So what's going on, and has anywhere found ways to buck the trend? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by Senior Lecturer in the Social Science of Development at King's College London, Dr. Alice Evans. Alice, hello to you.
Hello, Claire. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome to the programme. So just give us a sense of how big a problem this is, because I said it's widespread, and it is. It's an international problem, pretty much.
Totally. It's occurring almost everywhere in the world, save sub-Saharan Africa, you know, in Turkey, where I was doing research last year. Total fertility rate, that's the average amount of children we expect women to have in their lifetime, is 1.5. Tunisia, 1.4. India, 1.44. That's the same as here in England and Wales. So all over the world, Puerto Rico, 0.9, Chile, 0.9. Everywhere has seen this quite rapid collapse in fertility.
And the problem is, and it's an economic one as much as anything else, isn't it? Who pays for all of the pensions and the healthcare and so and public services when we have fewer people working?
Absolutely. That's the key crisis. So as people have fewer children, we see an aging population. Older people tend to work at lower rates. They're less likely to be entrepreneurial, to start new companies. So the entire economy becomes more stagnant and sluggish. Moreover, as you say, Claire, then we have these massive pension costs. So that creates a fiscal squeeze for governments, because you've got all these costs but less economic activity. So how do you pay for that? Well, either you become terribly indebted, but then those debts become more expensive to service because no one wants to buy your government debt, or you increase taxes on the young, but that hurts their consumption, hurts local, you know, jobs and services. So it's a really, really tough economic challenge.
So let's talk about what's going on, because I know back in, say, the 70s and 80s, there was this concern expressed, if you've got more women out working, they'd have fewer children. But that's not what's going on, or at least it's not the main problem, is it?
Absolutely. That's a really good point. So across the world, everywhere seems to see this big tumble in fertility, even when women aren't in the workforce. You know, in India, in Tamil Nadu, for example, only 20 in urban Tamil Nadu, only 29% of women are in the labor force, but they've got the same fertility as here. So it's like, why in these very, very culturally different societies do we see such drastically similar fertility rates? It can't just be about overeducated women or too much feminism if Turkey and Tunisia have also got the same problem as England and Ireland.
Now, you have a theory about personal online entertainment being a factor. Will you explain that to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that once women are in control of their fertility, which is absolutely a great thing, they only procreate if it's going to give them some kind of reward. So whether that's personal fulfillment or social approval. So we need to think that people are more likely to have kids if it's fun, relative to the alternatives. So as entertainment technology improves, it creates a tantalizing menu of options. You know, there are so many ways to spend our lives, whether we want to play World of Warcraft, whether we want to watch Netflix, Bridgerton, sports gambling. So babies have got to tussle. They've got to be more exciting than our options. So I think that as we see, so it's like we've got an arms race between, should I have kids or do I spend my time doing these other things? And as technology has improved very rapidly in the last 20 years, one, we see other potential indicators that people are changing how they spend their time. So for example, they're also socializing less.
Oh, okay.
They're spending more time home alone.
So that's a byproduct of being on social media. But do we have any evidence to say people are making a choice between spending more time on Instagram and finding fulfillment through social media apps like that and gaming and having children? Is there evidence of this?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to do, like, sort of, you know, if we were brilliant scientists, we might do a randomized control trial and only give one group of people mobile phones and then see if they have fewer children in a couple of years' time. But the problem is the entire world had this massive global shock. We all got mobile phones over the past, say, you know, smartphones over the past 15 years. And it's precisely in that period when we see this big improvement in entertainment technology that all of the places that were quite connected, that is, except sub-Saharan Africa, also see this shift in socializing. And it's not just a direct link between entertainment technology and fertility. I think a big mediating factor, which no one is really talking about, is also the dating crisis and the rise of singles, because that's the missing link. You know, when we talk about how hard it is to have a kid, we can't put the cart before the horse. We've got to think that, you know, for example, Ireland's 22 census reports that 43% of people are single. And so that's lots of people staying at home without a partner. And if you're single in your 20s and your 30s, you're much less likely to procreate. And that's happening globally. All over the world, we see this big decline in marriage and cohabiting. In Iran, in Turkey, in Egypt, in Costa Rica and Brazil, where I was earlier this year, everywhere, even in Sweden, 60% of households are now single adult households. So more people spending more time alone, which means, you know, you're less likely to have a baby if you're by yourself.
Of course. And people are retreating then into this digital bubble all by themselves.
Yeah, totally. I think that seems to be what's happening. And you're totally right to question me, Claire. You know, I don't have the gold standard RCT, but I'm looking around the world and we can see all these little data points seem to match up. And I'm trying to build that jigsaw.
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense what you're saying. And even if you look at people online who are influencers in different areas, whether it is fitness or nutrition or fashion, that life and that lifestyle is crossing into, it's not work, is it? That's your whole life. That's where all of your priorities have to be if you're doing that sort of a job.
Well, that's a great point, talking about our heroes, like our influencers, right? Because I think that films or media can be enormously powerful in terms of ideological persuasion. You know, if we celebrated parenting and families, that could make it seem desirable, like a pathway to love. You know, showing people, yeah, you'll be happier if you have kids. But actually, if you look at a lot of Hollywood or recent TV shows, very few of them actually advertise or glamorize families and having kids as if that's the pathway to happiness.
I was going to say there's another thing here, because you're saying to me the offering when it comes to families and having children has to be greater or look better or be more fun than what people
exactly
are living right now. Now, if you say to yourself, well, I'm going to settle down and have children, I'm going to have far less disposable income to go out and enjoy myself. I'm going to struggle to buy a home. I'm going to have to make sure my pension is in place. That's not as much fun as somebody who is in their digital bubble with disposable income for themselves.
Well, I mean, it could possibly be that having children is super, super fun. And even if there are economic costs, it's so rewarding to have the support, the love of a family. But I think we've got to remember that having children is like a massive, irreversible investment where the returns are uncertain. You don't know how happy you'll be. And, you know, and I think another really important point is that, you know, you rightly say that people are more likely to parent if it seems easier and more enjoyable. But then we face a really big challenge that as fewer people have kids, then we don't necessarily have a community that can support us. You know, it's not just about government providing free childcare, though that could be great. It's about whether there are fun parents that you can hang out with and have a great day, you know, a barbecue or a trip to the seaside.
So is there anywhere in the world you've seen where they seem to get this right?
I think everyone in the world seems to be struggling with this global crisis. Very few governments seem to understand the point that I've raised about the point of the rise of singles. There are some countries that do have pretty high fertility, but I don't think that's a model that Ireland or England wants to replicate. So, for example, I did a month's research in Uzbekistan, and wherever I would go, they would ask me four questions. Do you like Uzbekistan? Do you like Uzbek food? Are you married? And do you have children? And the answer was always supposed to be yes. Mm-hmm. So Uzbekistan is an extremely religiously conservative, strictly conformist society. which really polices fertility and elevates its status. So I think those four questions tell you a lot about what's important to Uzbeks. Like, they raise the status of having your family. That's super important. That's your pathway to prestige. But, you know, Ireland and England might want to get there without some of the other aspects of Uzbek culture.
But what about the Nordic countries where they have great childcare, great public services? I mean, why?
That's the big surprise. Yeah, so in Sweden, you get free childcare. It's super, super supportive. And yet, we do see the rise of singles, that more people are living alone. And that's why I'm saying that even if the government gives all these economic subsidies, if we don't look at this middle step that is actually coupling, it's very hard to fix it. Now, to answer your question, it doesn't seem like any government has really figured out what we need to do. And what I think we need as social scientists, as, you know, concerned members of the public, is we need to say, hey, fertility is super important for our economic prosperity, for our abundance, for our progress. So let's have a raft of initiatives and let's pilot them. Let's study them. Let's find out what actually works empirically. And most importantly, let's have a conversation about this and not shy away from it as seen as it like a conservative agenda or anything like that.
And what about the people in their 20s who might say, I want to extend this period because it's fun? You know, I don't many responsibilities. And who can blame them for wanting to do that? Do you think that that's a phenomenon that people are saying, no, I don't want to settle down until I am close to 40, perhaps?
Absolutely. I hear this all over the world, from Malaysia to South Korea to Spain to Italy. Everyone tells me, you know, this is my 20s. I want to have fun. And you know, I'm someone who writes on gender and women's rights, and I absolutely support that. I just think that people are considering, again, those options. So how can we make parenting seem more enjoyable and easier? Because the easier it becomes, like, okay, please don't take this the wrong way, and I hope this doesn't sound crude, but if parenting was as easy as having a puppy, more people would parent, right? Lots of people have dogs. Lots of people have puppies. In Beijing, there are more puppies than kids, mm-hmm. right? So that just tells you people like cute, fun things, but just not so much responsibility that it drags them down and reduces all the fun. We've got to put the fun back into parenting.
You can't be a part-time parent, though. Isn't that the thing? Alice, I need to leave it there, but thank you so much for being with us. That was fascinating. Dr. Alice Evans there, from who is a senior lecturer in the social science of development. We are going to go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.